Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Is my mic up?
Yeah.
I don't hear myself at all.
Huh. Well, pump up the volume.
It's always fun to start with a technical issue. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, I'll just assume that you can hear me. I wish you guys could see Becca and Jill dancing to the music.
Yeah, yeah. Dancing to the music.
Jeez, yes, I know. I can hear you guys. I can't hear anything else on the headphones. So
interesting.
I don't know what that's about. But anyway, guys, welcome back to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show. I am Kathy DeBuono. DeBuono.
Yes, you are.
If I were to say it properly in Italian, it is DeBuono. Now I will have people in Italy tweeting me and telling me I did that wrong. But, you know, I grew up in Italian New York, not Italian Italy. So I got what I got. I got what I got, kids. It's DeBuono. Oh, now I hear it.
Okay.
Thank you, Lamb.
Wait, I hit the wrong one.
Wow, now it's
okay. Loud.
Anywho, so today, you guys, today in this show, we are going to talk about some interesting things. Some interesting things in the world have happened, and we want to tell you those stories and then talk about our feelings about it and hear what you guys have to say about it, because this is something that it all involves forgiveness. A lot of this involves forgiveness. How to forgive? Do we forgive? Can we forgive ourselves first? Can we forgive others? Should we forgive? When is forgiving not a good idea? Becca, stop making faces at me. When is
forgiving the right idea?
You know, everyone talks about forgiving is the way to go, but let's really talk about what it is, how to do it, when to do it, and when it's too soon to do it because it's just in the way. And also later this hour, we are going to talk about handed down PTSD in Holocaust survivors' descendants, because we've noticed a lot of this in our own friends and families, and now they're doing studies on it, and I think it's absolutely a real thing. So we're going to do a little bit of digging into that too. But first, I want to give everybody an update. And for those of you who don't care, don't worry, this won't last long. But I want to give, for those of you who do care, I want to give everybody an update about my car. I started photojournaling. Okay, I don't know if it was last week or even the week before.
I think it was 3 weeks ago.
No, come on.
All
right,
whatever. It was like maybe 2 weeks, maybe a week, two and a half weeks.
Becca's the scale balancer. Okay, so my car was overheating, and I took it for an estimate, and they told me needed a new radiator, new thermostat, $500. And so, like I do with most things, I looked it up on YouTube to watch somebody do it to see if I thought I could do it. And of course, I thought I could do it because I usually think I can do most things.
That's a true statement.
And sometimes, you know, I wouldn't change that about me, but sometimes, you know, it slows me down in places because I got to try everything before that someone else do it.
Wow.
She just admitted something.
Wow.
I admit things all the time.
Okay, continue with your story.
I'm completely weird in many ways.
It's
true. Yeah. Anywho, I went ahead and decided I was going to do this myself. And I bought a new radiator, I bought a new thermostat, and I opened the hood of my car. I got out the manual, and I was like, where do I start? So mostly I found out the things that I ran into were when you're going to take apart a car made in 1999, you're going to need a few things like rust dissolver and some serious tools to just move simple things.
Nose
like
head pliers.
Bolts. No, Becca. Oh. Needle nose pliers.
Nose head pliers. I thought I was going to get it right.
Sorry.
So the big
Thank you.
I started photojournaling about it, like as I was going on Facebook. I would like take a picture and put it up there. And then I realized this is way too involved. I can't stop and take photos and do this at the same time. So I thought I would take photos the whole way, which I did. And then I would just go ahead on my website and like blog about it for anybody who cared, because there seemed to be a handful of people out there who were like, what happened next? Like there was this, you know, mystery going on in my car. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go on my website and put up a little blog with pictures and stuff for those of you who are interested, and I'll banter about it and my little trials and tribulations. But did I get it done? Yes, I did.
Yeah, she did.
Can you give me the hands? Oh,
no. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I had it on the wrong
button. Thank you very much, my little lamb cake.
That was funny.
I replaced the thermostat.
She did it, you guys. Listen to this.
She did it.
I did. I had to. First of all, every time they came home, there were more of my car parts.
All over the driveway.
All over the driveway and
out
of the car.
With tools, like needle nose pliers.
We were beginning to look like we lived in Alabama.
Yeah.
No offense to our southern friends, but you know what I'm talking about.
My friend, a very loving, dear old friend, I've known over 22 years, came over to help me. And she was like, hey, I think this is really cool. You're doing this. I'm going to come over. I'm going to hand you, I'll be your helper. And she comes over. She was there for maybe 7 minutes. There was this one bolt I could not get to move. She tried for maybe collectively under 7 minutes, and she lost her mind with frustration. And when laid in the grass with Comet, and I was like, you know what I need? And she goes, yeah, a mechanic.
So, exactly.
We got a couple of laughs out of that, but no, I ended up doing the entire thing myself. I had to change fuel injector hoses that were cracked. I had to change the thermostat housing that I found was corroded once I got to it. Once I finally got that off of there, I changed the thermostat. I put the hoses all back on. I got the new radiator in. I put the fans back onto it. I had to jimmy rig those a little bit. They might be a problem in the future, but right now.
She even did an electrical connection. She redid it.
What? I did. I'm just really proud of it. It's something
she did
I always wanted to do since I was a little kid and watched my dad do stuff like that. And, no one ever really takes a girl aside and has her really do those things. And in fact, when a girl wants to do those things, no one really encourages her to. But I think with teenage boys or young guys, it's always like, well, do it yourself. You can do that yourself. Do that yourself. So anyway.
Well, anyway, the other day when I came home, Kathy was like, look at what I did. Look at the car. We turned it on. We drove down the street.
Hummed like a dream.
And it worked. And the check engine light was off for the first time in a year. And it was great. Everyone should be proud of Kathy. And everyone should tweet her congratulations on your car being fixed. And you did a great job. And everyone do it.
All right. Becca's very sweet and supportive. Thank you very much, Becca. But here's the thing. I feel so good about it because now I look under that hood, and instead of looking at like a different language, I know what I'm looking at in a large percentage of it. Not all of it, but it feels really good. It was kind of fun and frustrating, but fun all at the same time.
Did you do it because you're cheap, or did you do it because you wanted to learn?
I did it mostly because I wanted to learn.
Okay.
And I'm not cheap. I'm poor. There is a difference. Okay, there really is a difference. But I also ended up spending I did save, though. I added up all the money this morning.
Okay.
I checked on my pet bill.
How much did you end up saving?
I ended up saving... Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a little over $100.
So like $101. Okay.
All right, but here's the thing. I didn't really do it to necessarily save the money because I knew I was going to have to spend the money to get this done. I did it because I know that I know I can do this. And it wouldn't have cost me that much money had I not made my little errors along the way. So next time, now I know what I'm doing. And $108 of that was the 1999 CRV
repair manual. I come home and there is a what looks to be a 1,200-page document in a binder.
No, honey, it's 1,398 pages.
Okay,
so it's 1,400 pages.
I was only 200 pages off. That's a pretty good estimate.
Which is a whole novel, really.
I was like, what is that? And she's like, that's the manual to the car. And I was like, and how much did that cost to get me?
Well, it was free to download. But then it was impossible to read because it was 1,400 pages, so I had to take it to Staples and get it printed. Now, if that wasn't enough, that was $108. Now, to put 1,400 pages of something in a binder, you have to get the 5-inch binder. Now, all the binders are pretty decent prices.
No, binders are expensive.
Once you go to the 5-inch binder, it was $33.
Oh, my gosh.
So all of this is included in the money I saved, right? So I have that manual now forever. Mm-hmm. And I
have the car forever.
You may not have this car for
I'm
going to
have
longer.
This car forever if it kills me because I'm going to fix every last dang thing that goes wrong with it.
All right.
We could start by putting back the mirror on the right-hand side.
Oh, I tried that. It fell off again.
She can fix the radiator, but the mirror...
Listen, that little mirror came with like double-sided tape.
Yeah.
How is that supposed to last? I went over one bump, it flew off. I was like, that is ridiculous.
Well, this fits in with the theme of last week, which is...
Empowerment. I do feel empowered.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Because what was the first thing you asked me to do, Becca, was look at your air conditioner in your car that doesn't work.
Yeah, and you can also fix the mirror on the side of my car. I need to replace the front bumper and the back bumper because I bump into things.
This is where I now become very expensive.
Yeah, you can start charging.
Listen.
Not to mention the allergy hell I went through under the hood of that car. My allergies are so bad, I'm ready to kill myself.
Don't say that.
Well, come
say
on. That. It's an expression used in this way. I'm not seriously going to kill myself. I'm frustrated. I can't believe that I'm actually breathing right now.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, the whole house shakes when she sneezes.
Yes. And when she blows her nose, it sounds like a flock of geese are flying over.
It really is. I was icing my face yesterday. I literally had an ice pack on my face.
And then she neti potted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure this is really fascinating for everyone who's listening to the show right now. They want to know all about this. What else can I tell them? I lost my Adderall.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
ADD. Adderall really helps me calm down, and I lost it a few days ago. My friend is shooting a movie. I went to the set. It was in my bag. I came home. It's not. Did someone steal it? Did I lose it? I don't know, but it's not there. So I finally got it today in the mail. It came like an hour before the radio show, and I popped it in my mouth. And I was like, thank God.
I said thank God when I
we
saw
all
the mailbox.
Thank
God. It was. Yeah. It's interesting to see how difficult it is for you to focus, because I don't see you.
I kind of get
unmedicated.
Stuck. Yeah, I kind of get stuck inside my brain without it, because I know what I want to say. I know where I want to go with things, but I start having way too many ideas all at once. And what I lose is kind of like my ability to focus in and slow down enough to put it into words so that I can communicate it to other people. So I almost feel isolated and like stuck inside myself.
No, you could tell. I mean, this morning I watched it. And I was like, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. Like, I didn't know how to help you with this.
Yeah. And I mostly will just look at you, and I'm very present.
Yeah.
And I'm picking up all kinds of detail, but it's like, it's happening too fast. I don't know how to participate. So I end up just sort of unplugging.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating. But, what was that, honey? How much time do we have?
That's 30 seconds.
We have 30 seconds. All right.
I think people at home
but
might even
like
know.
But this now. See?
No.
Oh, guys,
I went like this.
It's never the same.
It's fine. When we come back from commercial break, we're going to be talking about a particular case that happened this week in Texas.
I think this is really interesting.
Yeah. So we'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll talk about it.
Oh, sure.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to Blogspot.com and get your free quote today. That's Blagspot.com. Blogspot. We're up to interpretations.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Hi.
Bring us back, baby.
We're back. Yeah.
Tell us the story.
Okay, so as per the usual, you know, daily routine of being on Facebook and getting all the feeds and taking in the massive amounts of information that we now take in as human beings. And still, like today, on Thursdays especially, I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm like, I can't take anything else in. But there was a story that caught my interest because of the way that Jezebel, of course, Jezebel again, they should be paying us, put the headline. But basically, the story was, over the weekend, a Texas father beat to death a man that he allegedly caught molesting his 4-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
Just a quick backstory. It happened near Houston, where the girl's family had invited people over, including the man that was killed. The little girl stayed inside the house while relatives were outside tending to the horses. When her father came back, he found the man attacking raping. I don't know why they say attacking. Let's just say what it is. He was raping his daughter.
I find they use the word molesting instead of raping a lot.
I know.
As well.
It just sounds a little less.
It is a different act, but go on.
Yeah. Well, he was raping his daughter, and he cut short the assault by punching him in the head so many times that he killed him. So the discussion was pretty much the public outpouring was in support of the father. And everyone was saying he was absolutely justified in killing him on the spot. There should be no criminal investigation. There should be no charges filed against this man. And then obviously it got into the discussion of, okay, well, can, you know, if we start going down this road, then we're essentially going to make this legal. And if someone catches someone in the act of something, we can say it's justifiable.
Well, if you guys tweet us right now at my Twitter with what you think about this. Do you think that's wrong? Do you think that's right? Would you have done it? Would you have stopped short of killing him? Are you sorry? I don't think he intended to kill the guy, but
no.
Would you be sorry he died? Just whatever your question or comment is, chime in by tweeting me at CATHYDEBUONO. And Becca's on the boards watching out for your comments and questions.
That's right.
I have, you know, therapist duties aside for a moment, I have mixed feelings about this. Just as, you know, plain old Kathy human being, I understand what happened.
Right.
And, you know, self-defense is only something you can use to a degree that it stops the other person from harming you. So once they are stopped, you cannot continue to kill them. You have to stop whatever it is that you've done. So he had to stop short of killing the guy. But in this case, I don't know of anyone who couldn't understand the snappage that would happen in a father's brain when walking in on a man raping his four-year-old daughter.
Right.
And how, yes, he sprung into action for self-defense of his daughter, I mean, his daughter's defense, rather. But where people might have an issue is, does that rage now need to be punished because he didn't stop short of killing the man?
Right.
I wonder what everyone thinks about that.
Well, he, to go further into it, the man who did it himself says he's sorry that it went this far. Like, he said he didn't mean to kill him and that he has remorse over the fact that he killed him,
yeah.
Which is interesting. And obviously, I think that alone, and I believe he's the one that called 911 as well. And I think
right.
he expressed that.
Well, didn't you say they're not going to prosecute?
Well, the DA is now thinking, you know, they're going over the case, but they're like, we're not going to be able to find a jury that's even going to think that this is a case.
Right.
Like, who's going to feel sorry for some, you know, guy,
baby rapist.
Like, who's gonna feel like he deserved a trial? Let's just save the taxpayers' money and not go through this. Now, what's interesting is this calls back to another case that happened. Now, this is even farther extreme. There was a man whose son was kidnapped and raped by a man. They knew the kid survived, and he came back home, and he was positively identified, and they knew that this was the guy. Well, they were transporting him in the airport, and the father went to the airport, and it's all caught on tape, shot the man and killed him right there. He did not go to prison.
It's on video.
Where's
that video that we watched today?
It's, if you go to the original Jezebel article that the Texas father,
yeah.
There's in the comments, the video is listed under there.
So the perpetrator was apprehended and brought back to whatever state where he was, you know, where the father and the child lived.
Right.
And just to set it up for people, because I watched the video this morning, and the authorities were walking the perpetrator through the gate at the airport in handcuffs. He could not harm anyone.
Right.
He was harmless at the moment. And he walked past a phone booth where the father was waiting. And you can see him in the video. He just pulls up a gun, turns, and bam, I think in the head. By
yeah.
that time, the angle, you couldn't see the guy get shot, but he just went down like a ton of bricks. There was
yeah.
no...
And he was dead.
He was just instantly killed him.
Yeah. And that was first-degree murder.
That was first-degree premeditated murder. Yeah. A man in an airport with a gun. I don't know how he got that far, by
right.
the way.
Well, this was, I think, a few years ago. Well, I don't know how long ago it was. But
maybe he didn't get through the gate. It was just...
But the guy did go on trial.
He did go.
5 years probation.
And he was essentially acquitted. Right. Like, essentially...
No jail time.
Community service and
acquittal.
5 years
probation.
Yeah.
Which means he reports to his probation officer, however, whatever his deal is, once a week, once a month, whatever it is.
Right.
So... How do we all feel about this?
Yeah.
I mean, that is premeditated murder.
Right. Right. And so to some extent, now we are talking about forgiveness in that jury of his peers instantly forgave him for that act, even though it was a known fact that he premeditated and murdered this man. He did not let the cogs of justice do their thing. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to kill this person.
Pedophiles are tricky. Like when I think about a pedophile, whether it's as their therapist, which I've never been a pedophile's therapist, I can say that. I've never had that experience. But
I wouldn't even know how to deal with that.
I think it would be extremely difficult because I don't know how to think, quite frankly, about pedophilia. I don't know how to think about it. I mean, there's so many ways in which to think about it. You always hear people say they cannot be rehabilitated. If right. they have offended, they will offend again. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. They are master manipulators. It's a real, real problem. So to see a father just go ahead and eliminate one, it's almost like, well, you kind of solved a lot of problems.
Right.
Like, we're all going to drive ourselves crazy to be perfect humanitarians, to not harm this person because he's a person. But all he's going to do is be a problem and a predator for the rest of his life.
Right.
For innocent people around him. So where he should be is in jail.
Right.
But how often does that either not happen or they go in jail and then they come back out and they almost always perpetrate again.
Right.
So it's really, really a difficult thing to think about because you want to just be like, look, it's like having a shark swimming around in the tank. What do you do with that?
Yeah, well, it goes under that category of, do you believe in justifiable homicide? And where is that line? And it's a really difficult line to try to establish. I mean, personally, I've said this before, I don't believe in the death penalty. However, I support this. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing. I would do the same thing.
Well,
and
that's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's why it becomes a scary thought, because in this particular instance, you think about that man plotting it, planning it, getting a gun, going there. He's probably absolutely a harm to no one else. But what happens when you've crossed that line, when you've pulled a trigger and you've killed a person and essentially everyone around you then says, okay, yeah, we get it. Does something happen in that person?
Potentially.
I'm curious about that.
Potentially. Or, you know, like, one of the things about this whole idea of forgiveness, which we're going to talk about more in the next segment, is that there's sort of two schools of thought from what, you know, in the very light reading that I've done on the subject, which is forgiveness is absolutely necessary for people to be able to move on and be healthy. Like, if you hang on to anger and rage, it's only going to eat away at you. It's only going to cause problems in your life, shorten your life, give you stress, all kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. So Occupy your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Most people will say you need to forgive and truly let go of something in order to heal. However, there is one particular type of trauma or a couple particular types of trauma where they say the exact opposite of is true. Those are in cases of rape and child abuse. And there's a school of thought in there that says, it's better if you hold on to anger. You can heal faster. Women heal faster when they actually get in touch with their anger and they allow themselves the anger to push them forward.
Yeah.
But isn't it like when you feel that anger, you have to acknowledge it and then move through it? I mean, I don't think holding on to it is helpful, but you have to acknowledge it.
Kathy would know better on this
I have a lot of thoughts about this in terms of what you were just explaining. I think that makes a lot of sense. When we get really, it helps right now to look at what anger is. In any case, anger usually is the empowering feeling that shows up to replace a more vulnerable, hurting feeling.
Right.
Like usually if we can just sort of tend to the anger and move it out of the way, what we'll find right behind it is incredible pain. And so anger shows up because it's a much more empowering and motivating thing to feel than pain, because pain can just sort of render you depressed, motionless. You know, anger is more likely to help you survive something.
Right.
So when anger comes in, it's protecting us from our own pain. Now, if we were to go straight from somebody traumatizing us to not feeling angry at them, we would go straight into the depths of that pain. And then that is where our ego and our conscious thought processes now have to kick in and make logical sense of why we are in that much pain, and it starts to look for blame and fault. And this is where it gets tricky for survivors of sexual abuse, like you were mentioning, and why the anger is essential. And when we come back from our commercial break, we'll get deeper into that. But there's a step there where the anger is essential in moving forward in the healing, and it's about that. It's about the ego and our sense of self.
Right.
So stay tuned. And is forgiveness possible? Is it the right idea? Is it always the right idea? And is there a moment when it's a bad idea? We'll be back in just a few minutes. No, not a few minutes.
A couple of minutes.
All right. Stay tuned. Good Lord.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly Project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to Blogspot.com and get your free quote today. That's Blagaspot.com. Blogspot. We're up to interpretations.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Hola. We will do the rest of the show in Spanish. No, we won't.
No, we won't.
So we're talking about forgiveness, and we're talking about when is it a good idea to forgive? We always hear that it's necessary to forgive because of what it does to us inside if we do not. But when is it a problem, and when is it in the way of healing? And Jill was mentioning that she read something today about how it's better for survivors of sexual abuse to actually not forgive, at least right away. And we were just talking about, what is that about? You know, why would anyone want to carry around anger? And here's why. Anger is empowering. Anger is motivating. Our anger is more about survival than pain and suffering is. So anger shows up to protect us from our pain and suffering. Now, if we're a child and we are abused in some way by a parent or someone we need to survive or trust, then we have to forgive them as a child in order to survive that situation. How do you make sense of a situation? Okay, I'm abused by my father or my mother, and now I have to live with this person. If that child remains angry at that person or afraid of that person or holds that person responsible for what happened to them, who do they turn to survive? So very often kids don't do that, and they turn the blame on themselves. They turn the blame on themselves and they make themselves the problem. I don't know what I did to deserve this. I'm a bad kid. This wouldn't have happened to me if I were, you know, what is it about me? I have clients that have been through this, and it's kind of a universal issue where they ask themselves, like, but what was it about me that made this happen? They can't seem to move past that. And that's because they don't want to be angry at their perpetrator. They don't want to feel that anger. They don't want to feel that someone else was responsible, because then what do they do with that? What do they do with all that anger? But it's necessary part for that person's healing to feel all of that anger, because they've got to stop turning it and the blame on themselves before they can heal. So in what you were mentioning, how it's better for survivors of sexual abuse or rape or something to stay angry for a little while, I agree with that, because they can then recognize that they have been wronged, that they weren't responsible for this. It doesn't matter if they're wearing a short dress. It doesn't matter if they had a drink or they, quote, led him on. You know, there's nothing about being sexually abused that is the victim's fault. Yet often, to avoid feeling that anger, they want to go straight to the forgiveness. And then while they're sitting in all of that pain, psychologically, consciously, our ego, which is the conscious part of ourselves that assesses the world around us and navigates for dangers or opportunities and helps us make choices that survive, that ego structure is going to start trying to make sense of all of that pain by looking for how it happened and looking for who's responsible so that it can protect us the next time. And if we go straight to forgiveness of that perpetrator, we skip over the anger part, and we start turning that blame and responsibility in on ourselves, and then we can't heal.
Yeah, and also it you don't put up that wall that then lets it happen again. Like, I have so many female friends who have been through some sort of version of this, whether or not they were molested by a parent or a stranger or an uncle, or raped or date raped or something like that. And it's fascinating to me to see how they each deal with it. And there are some of them who say that they don't have any anger at all, which I don't get. And then there are other people who do carry around the anger with them all the time and have the walls up. You know, like, it's fascinating to see. But what I have found with my friends who say that they've let it go, and they, you know, it there seems to be a repeating pattern in their life.
Yeah.
And I know quite a few.
Because what they've really done is accepted people's abuse. They've
right.
accepted it so that they don't have to feel the powerlessness of stopping it.
Right.
Meaning, if I feel pissed off and you'd wronged me, then something needs to be done here. And people don't know what to do about that, especially if it's their father or someone they trusted, or they're a child and they can't do anything about it. They are powerless. But then these children grow up to be adults. And what often do we find that happens to these women who end up surviving by just accepting it? Is, you know,
they get into another relationship just like that.
They get into that relationship like that, or they end up being very overweight.
Right.
Which is either a way to keep people away from them, a way to control it by changing who they are to keep people away from them, or they're eating their feelings. They're stuffing that anger down. And so we end up developing slowly over time without even realizing it. We develop, you know, we are overweight. Now we have diabetes. We are whatever disease shows up. We are turning that energy back in on ourselves because we didn't take the time to feel the righteous pissed off anger that actually tells us inherently we are worth it. We
right.
are worth being treated better than that, and that no one had a right to do that to us. And so when we move through it in that way, we can get through to the healing to the other side, where responsibility for what happened is appropriately placed on the perpetrator.
Right.
And then we can grow up to be taking care of ourselves, and we don't have to be overweight to keep someone away from us. We don't have to stuff our feelings and eat our feelings. We can move on to be an empowered, strong adult. And then it's time to forgive.
The other part of all of this is to look at the perpetrator. And we're not even just talking about, you know, people who've perpetrated sexual abuse or something even that bad, but even just wronging someone and talking about that part of this whole equation in forgiveness. When you are the person that has caused someone pain, what, you know, they say that there are two motivating factors for seeking forgiveness, which is guilt and shame. and that they're two entirely different processes in a human brain, and that you're far more likely, if you're driven by guilt, to ask for forgiveness. There's a difference between the two things, whereas shame, you typically go inside yourself and you can't face the person.
Yeah. Well, shame is made of, I mean, even inherent in the word, we can just feel it. The energy of the word carries it. Shame is, you know, sort of indicates a judgment on oneself that you're bad, you should be punished, you should be shamed. And
right.
So I think, you know, that's interesting that you read that somewhere, because I would say I'd have to agree that shame would be more likely to hold us back from seeking redemption, because, you know, you're more likely to sit in a space where you don't feel like you deserve it. So you're more likely to sit in a space where you feel like you deserve to just be alone or punished or whatever it is. But also shame can be mixed with guilt, where it can be a motivator to move forward and want to grow and want to mend that bridge and want to seek forgiveness.
So the question is when you are that person and you...
The perpetrator?
When you're the perpetrator of something, like, I truly do believe if someone comes to you, it doesn't matter what they do, really. I mean, even if it's something as bad as they murdered someone or they slept with your wife, if they come to you and they are genuinely apologizing and taking responsibility, I believe you should forgive them.
First of all, sleeping with my wife is unforgivable. And we would talk about that, honey.
I'm not talking about...
That was just a joke.
Yes, I know.
She looked at me like, what? I didn't do anything.
I'm talking about, like, I'm not saying whether or not
you
actually, as the person, truly forgive them, but you say to them, I forgive you. I just feel like it's the right thing to do.
For who?
For that, okay, if a person, it's a Jewish thing as well, and I think this is something we actually spent quite a bit of time...
Oh, so you're saying if a person genuinely takes responsibility for what they did,
right,
and expresses their regret,
true regret,
you should accept it.
You should accept it.
I agree with
that. Whether or not you inside accept it, you should tell them you're forgiven. Whether or not you...
So you're saying don't stop their process of healing, even if you are not ready to continue to heal.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they really mean it. That doesn't mean you have to be friends with them again. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that...
And that would be a selfless act.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. And then if you still have issues about it, that's a whole nother story. I'm just saying that, like, I believe it's wrong when someone comes to you and is saying, I messed up and I'm so sorry. And the person goes, so, or doesn't respond. It's like, even if this person is trying to come toward you and trying to make amends. And I think it's your job as another human being to at least say, okay, I can't be friends with you again or whatever, but I accept your apology. I accept it.
I agree. And that's going to be, you know, that is like, okay, black and white, that's like the right thing to do, right? But there's going to be levels of ability to be able to do that. And that's going to always, like you said before, it's going to count. It's really going to depend on the nature of what that person did to you,
but
really.
If you look at, like, people whose family has been murdered, and the murderer goes to the family and says, I am sorry, and the family forgives them, do you see the difference between
Absolutely.
Those people? And, like, even just the act, and I've seen people interviewed where they said, I didn't feel in my heart any forgiveness, but doing the act of saying, I forgive you, drained all of that anger and rage out of me eventually.
This is where I start to think about it in metaphysical terms. This is where we are just making a complete energy shift, and we are deciding to change the way we infuse a situation. Is it going to be dark energy, or is it going to be light energy, or whatever verbiage you want to use? Is it going to be infused with love, or are you going to continue to infuse it with essentially fear? Because
right.
If we're still angry and pissed off, we're afraid of that pain and that vulnerability, and so we're still infusing it with, you know, combativeness and for lack of a better term, dark energy. And things heal when we infuse them with light energy. But like we were saying before, it is really imperative that if you're going to shine your light energy, you've got to shine it on yourself first. You've mm-hmm. got to heal yourself first. And that's one of the steps of forgiving someone else that I like to take with people, is I first like to assess what is it about them, and even if it's nothing to do with that other person, what is it about themselves that they've never forgiven themselves for? Because we've got to be able to understand that all human beings are the same, and we all want love, we all have fear. I don't care how cool anybody acts, it's all the truth, it's all the same. And so can we forgive ourselves for our faults and our problems and the things that we've done? How good at that can we get to actually let ourselves off the hook from self-punishing and self-blame and all of that? The better we get at that, the more light we have inside ourselves to forgive others. All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll finish up with forgiveness, and we're going to talk about what it's like for the descendants of Holocaust survivors.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Lagaspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to Blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's Blagaspot.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
So where do we even start when we're talking about the Holocaust and forgiveness?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. That was bad timing, but Kathy was struggling to put on her headphones.
Whatever. Kathy's always struggling with something. Always laughing at what I'm struggling with. But we were talking today about forgiveness, and somehow we started talking about, you know, the levels, different levels of forgiveness. Like, I forgive you for dropping that milk and, you know, on my carpet, or do I forgive you for the Holocaust?
Right.
I mean, there's like a tremendously different experience for each one. And then we started talking about how Holocaust survivors, I mean, they have been so traumatized, obviously, by the situation that the PTSD that they live on has been handed down to the second generation and even a third generation descendants. And we have Becca Cates here in studio with us to actually speak firsthand about
to
that.
To confirm
because
it.
Becca's dad was a son of two Holocaust survivors.
Is a
son of two Holocaust survivors. And I was thinking mostly like, this is the man who raised you and he was a son of this. And Becca, we know, you know, the kind of anxiety that has been sort of infused in you. And we are constantly trying to decipher what's nature and nurture. But why don't you talk a little bit about that and what you've started to discover as you look at it with more of an awareness of this history?
Yeah, well, I think... you know, I grew up hearing stories of my grandparents' survival in Europe during the Holocaust, and I think
There's just a weird mic sound. Go on.
And I had both of my grandparents alive until last summer when my grandfather died, and I think so. It wasn't just, you know, my dad raising me, but also my grandparents raising me, and the perspective on what life is when you go through something so traumatic and so unbelievably horrific that, you know, like little things don't matter as much. And so I saw this article yesterday, actually, that was on Haaretz.com, which is a Jewish news website. And it
they were talking about a study that was just done in Israel about how anxiety and depression and just basically the traumatic line of energy is being passed on to second and third generations of Holocaust survivors. And I was like, that's me. You know, I mean, it's just, I guess, you know, I just remember talking to you guys once when we had some friends over and we were playing poker, and I was telling you how, you know, my dad, you know, growing up, you know, some kids, you know, get travel with their parents a lot and they go to like Europe or whatever, you know, like I went to a prep school. So I had these friends that would always, you know, go on these trips. And my dad was like, we're not going to France, or we're not going to wherever, or any places in Europe, because they hate Jews and they're going to kill us.
And now, did he actually believe that logically, or was it just something?
I don't know.
He was aware that he was just ingrained to this fear and he just wasn't going to go there.
Probably the latter, but I think that's what he was told his entire life, that's his automatic response. I mean, it gets to the point where the automatic nature of dealing with this kind of trauma is so ingrained that
the world is a dangerous place.
The world is a very dangerous place.
I was reading that article you were talking about this morning, and they were saying there was a couple of things that were just really inherent in the descendants of Holocaust survivors. And one of them was just the world is a threatening reality.
Mm-hmm.
The world is full of unexpected threats. You always have to prepare for the unknown. There's food hoarding and fattening of the children, mm-hmm, in case they're not going to have food.
There's a joke that, you know, Jewish mothers are constantly feeding their children. And my grandmother was always, what do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? And I'm like, Nana, I'm not hungry. Like, are you trying to get me fat?
Italians are like that too, but yeah. I think it's just because of the pizza.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, she was constantly doing it. I was like, no, Nana, I'm not hungry. And she'd be like, well, do you want fruit? And I'm like, that means I don't want any food. But it's, I mean, really, it's, and I think the other thing, which isn't in this article, but I think there's also a sense of responsibility to your ancestors. And I think that's a huge part of it. For me, at least, because in the article, there's a lot of things like eating disorders that have been, that have happened to kids of who have grandparents who are Holocaust survivors. That never happened to me, but anxiety, depression, and extreme, awareness about the fear that exists in the world has been a huge burden on me.
It's it's a Jewish stereotype, but it's unfortunately
true.
Very true.
It's a reason. There's a reason why.
Jews view the world through this lens of distrust, because through their entire history, they've been driven out of every land, killed. The Holocaust was pretty, you know, just a couple generations ago. But there's a reason why this stereotype exists, because these people went through this.
Yeah, right. And the other thing is, you know, whenever, like, I'm having a bad day or if I'm stressed about something, my dad will always say, well, think about what Papa went through.
Right. And that's been my whole life.
Perspective.
This is the part that I get pissed off for the descendants for. Like, yes, you deserve all the respect in the world for what you went through. And I can think about what you went through and I can't possibly identify. And yes. But don't put that on your freaking kids and your grandkids. They're human. They're going to feel the stresses of their lives. You can't say, well, think about what Papa went through. Well, I know Becca's dad very well, and we talk very frankly with each other. And so he feels like family to me. But I, you know, I've told him, I'm like, you're pissing me off. You're freaking her out about the whole freaking world. You're not helping her. Like, this is not helping.
But that is how it's passed on.
That's PTSD.
That's exactly how it gets passed on, is because you stifle your problems because you can't possibly compare them to what happened.
And there's something about the descendants of Holocaust survivors where their lives become very beholden to making their parents happy, more so than making themselves happy. And that's something else I see you struggle with.
Well, yeah. When your parents come to this country with no money, with nothing, with the clothes and the rags that they're wearing, and then make a life for themselves and their children, how can you not want to please them after what they went through?
This, I believe, is an entire segment that we need to do.
Yeah, we're touching on this. Maybe we'll get back to this. We have some other friends we might want to invite in on this.
I think,
a deeper conversation.
Yeah, I think we need to have a much longer discussion on this.
Yeah, give us the news, babe.
Well, we just found out that our episode of Real Life the Musical has been postponed. We don't know the date yet, but they have decided they're going to relaunch the show later in the summer. We will, of course, let you know the date.
Stay tuned. tuned, people.
Stay tuned. And we will be in Munich for their Gay Pride Festival and a screening of We Have to Stop Now Season 2 on July 13th. So if you're anywhere around, please come. Next week's guest is metaphysical educator Vipin Mehta.
I'm very excited. I love metaphysical stuff. And so I will take you with me on a little chat with this guy. You guys, if you're listening on LA Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye. If you're listening on CBS New Sky Radio stations or virtually anywhere else, just stay tuned because we have coming up next a Craigslist monologue cold read by actress Maya Madison that is going to make you pee your pants with laughter. See you guys next time.
Pee your pants.
Pay up. They made it through another one.
Double or nothing next week, Sue.
You're on.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with Kathy DeBono right here on LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
It was posted on Craigslist.
Posted March 13th, 2012, Naperville, Illinois. Read by actress Maya Madison.
I am Black Lady in Naperville, Illinois, 60540, being bullied and assaulted by a racist terrorist. I am looking for a bodyguard. Help me to fight them. I have found out what is happening to me and somewhat why. It seems that someone reported me to authorities as a threat, and they have been using Big Brother bully tactics to snoop, pry, and spy on me. However, they came up with nothing and went away empty. However, they left me and my life in complete turmoil. Now, at this point, I'm seeking litigation rather than a bodyguard. I lost my job, and I even found evidence of a spy cam in my APT. I could not find it physically, but I did detect the Bluetooth address. I have a copy of print screen, smart, huh? And traced it to Samsung. Naperville knew about this and did not help me. In fact, I was left for dead because I had ODD'd on medicine. And they knew it and did not give treatment. I wish someone with some power could help me. I am willing to go to a news media with a story if they can figure out entire episode for me. They put some comprising picture of me to provoke me into doing something stupid so they could arrest me for something and say face. The day in question, the FBI, TSA, and a lot of PPL was there. And I am the one lonely Black lady living in an all-white community. I lost my job at DirecTV. I need help. I have no one to turn to. Does President Obama know that Americans are being attacked and by and destroyed by the government? How do I get my story to him? I do not have help yet, and I fear for my life from his cabinet of elected officials. How can I get the word to him before it's too late? P.S. If something happens to me, you know where to start. I live in Naperville. Illinois 60540. My name is Erica. I am horrified. I'm horrifically terrified for my life because they know they screwed up.
That's a cold breeze, motherfucker.
It was posted on Craigslist.
You're listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Blogspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blogspot. Up to interpretations.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
The Kathy DeBono Show. CBS Radio's
views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Transform. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.